to go right into the message today. It's not going to be long. Of course not, because it's me. But if you wouldn't mind, open up your Bibles. They're going to have it on there. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 37. And we are starting a new series today. It's called Fundamental. We're talking about the fundamentals of our faith, but not necessarily just the fundamentals of our faith. We're talking about the things that get in under the foundation of our faith that can cause us to lose the position that God has given us. It says, upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time, frightened by the meaning of the dream. Then the king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means. Belteshazzar replied, I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. The tree you saw was growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. That tree, your majesty, is you, for you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to heaven, and your rule to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and its roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals of the field for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, your majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my lord, the king. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with a wild animal. You will eat like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own power and might, I have built this beautiful city as a royal residence to display my majesty and splendor. Almost done. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow. He was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was long as eagle feathers and his nails were like birds' claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting and his kingdom eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? When my sanity returned, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored as head of my kingdom with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are true, and he is able to humble the proud. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word today. I thank you that it does not return void. Lord, that it's going to accomplish everything that it set out to do today. I come against the enemy that would try to steal every seed deposited today. And we come against every assignment of the enemy, and we declare it null and void. I thank you that this service houses your presence, and in so doing that we will be changed because we are in your presence today, God. We thank you for this today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk for just a few minutes about the fundamentals of our faith. Fundamental. We kind of had a little play on words here. The mental part of it is that we want to stay in the position that God has given us. And that's going to require some mental fortitude on our part. It's not just that we're going to, you know, keep building. You know, when a building is built, the thing about it is that they still have to go back every 6 months and look at the foundation. If you're adding and adding and adding to the top of a building, you have to go back and check that there aren't things developing underneath the foundation that can cause cracks. You have to make sure that in Florida, we have to make sure that you're not living on a sinkhole, that somehow water has developed underneath there, and now you're living in a, you know, sinking sand. So there's things that have to happen. And a lot of times what happens in our faith is that as we grow in the faith, we just keep, you know, growing, and God keeps promoting and things keep happening. But what Richie and I have really been praying about lately is, Lord, these people that are like on top, these men of God, women of God that are like on top, then all of a sudden we hear these stories about them. And the Lord reminded Richie and I when we were studying for this that there was a crack in the foundation that wasn't addressed. There's an issue under the surface that hasn't been addressed. Something got in. If you're a homeowner, you know what happens when a tree root grows up under your house and all of a sudden you start having plumbing issues. Anybody ever had this before? You start having all of a sudden these issues with your plumbing, and you're like, why? What's going on with my plumbing? They do the snake under there and they find out there's a tree root growing through your pipes. Crack in the foundation. Something developing under the surface, and I can't see it, but it doesn't mean that it's not damaging and causing damage. So we got to take a look back sometimes, and we got to go back to the basics, and we got to do a recheck. We got to ask the Lord, Lord, where am I right now? What am I not seeing? What characteristics have been developing without me realizing it that can later on cause me to fall? Lord, what are some of those things in my life that I'm not seeing with my natural eye? And because of that, I'm becoming so prideful that there's things growing below the surface and I've not dealt with them. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit. And I think the most damaging, the one that I want to kick off the series with, one of the most damaging that I personally have seen is the spirit of pride. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The spirit of pride. Pride is defined as this: a deep feeling of pleasure and satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. One's own achievements. The achievements of those with whom one is closely associated, or the qualities or possessions that are widely admired. I got a promotion. Did you see my kid? They're so amazing. They joined the army. I'm so proud of them. They've done all these things. I'm so proud of them. Did you see my new car? Did you see my new boat? This is what it looks like when we walk in a spirit of pride. And not necessarily the outward, but what are some of those things that develop underneath? The reason why pride is so damaging is because it attaches itself to good things, to good things and goes undetected and causes extensive damage. And that's where I want to camp today. That's where I want to camp today. And I want to use Nebuchadnezzar's story as our character study for this. Because there's so many things in this story. And if you have a chance, go back and read Daniel. It's an amazing book. It'll fire you up, but it also has so many things in there where the Lord really points out and convicts and brings conviction so that we can change. It's a good foundational book. But I want to talk to you for just a second about King Nebuchadnezzar. This guy, we read, is appointed by God. He is not of the nation of the Jewish nation. So in the Old Testament, here all of a sudden we read, oh, this guy was appointed by God. Did you know that God appoints leaders? Weird, right? So like when we're bad-mouthing and talking about people that have been placed in authority over us, what is God calling us to do? Not pray for them. Our objective is not to bash people. Our objective isn't to talk bad about people. Yes, we can address the issue. We can address the things that we're dealing with as a nation. But if I'm going to be truthful with you guys today, I want to point out for just a quick second that God appoints and we submit. That's what we're called to do. God appoints and we submit because it's in that submission that we are blessed. It doesn't matter what happens in the nation because God's people are blessed. Just wrap your head around that for a second. There are three important things that have to happen when a spirit of pride arises inside of us, like it did with King Nebuchadnezzar. And we see this story in the Old Testament, and I can remember hearing about this when I was in kids' church, about he was prideful and he believed that he did all of these things. And so God made him crawl around like an animal in the desert and he had long fingernails. And I can remember vividly, like my Nana was my Sunday school teacher. So I could remember vividly her like doing the claws and like, you know, running around like a crazy person to really hit home this message. And it did for me. It did for me because forever and always, when I think about a spirit of pride, I think about Nebuchadnezzar. I think about the way that he walked around believing that somehow he had built this whole thing, not recognizing that God had put him in authority, not recognizing that it was God who gave him the position of authority, not himself. He did not earn it. He did not work hard enough for it. God put him in position. So the first thing that we have to do when a spirit of pride starts to arise is that we have to recognize it immediately. Immediately. When we begin to feel a deep sense of pleasure towards what we have achieved, built, or own, we are crossing into dangerous territory. We are crossing into dangerous territory. He wrongfully assumed that he built that kingdom. This is my kingdom. I built it. And as a result of that, he fell. Here's the point. Failure to recognize or remember that our abilities were given to us by God, he sustains them, he perfects them, is the doorway for a spirit of pride. That's the doorway. That's the doorway. How are you recognizing pride in your life? When was the last time you said to yourself, man, I feel like I'm acting prideful in this moment right now? If I'm being truthful with you, I don't know if I've ever said like, oh, I'm super prideful right now. Sounds prideful. Prideful sounds pride. So it's difficult to recognize. And that's why it's one of those things that kind of develops under the surface. It's all of a sudden you've achieved something, you've accomplished something, and here comes that spirit of pride that tries to rise up at the same time. How do we rejoice in the victory without succumbing to the pride? How do we do that? How can you honor God in that moment without exalting yourself? It's difficult. The second thing is we got to kill it quickly. Kill it quickly. From the time Daniel interprets the dream to the time that it unfolds, it was 12 months. The Lord gave him 12 months. This is crazy to me because I'm like, in 12 months, you couldn't have figured it out. It wasn't like the Lord was like, that's it, I'm done. He gave him 12 months to figure it out. 12 months. And I want us to think about it for a second. How patient has God been with you? How patient is he with us? How patient when he gives us a directive, when he says, hey, this is coming up. I'm seeing this right here. I'm seeing this spirit of pride rising up. I'm seeing this lust rise up. I'm seeing this whatever rise up. And we just like, oh, I've got it. I've got it under control. Lord, you don't have to bring it up again. I got it. Lord, I don't have an alcohol problem. I'm good. Lord, I don't have a lust issue. I'm good. Lord, I don't have a pride problem at work. I'm good. I know you're in control. I know you got it, Lord. Listen to this. Genesis 4:7 says this. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. This happened years. This verse happened years before Daniel came along. No doubt Daniel knew this verse. No doubt. No doubt the word of God was being read. The Torah was being read. Things were happening. And was he adhering? Was Nebuchadnezzar adhering? No, he was not. Even when Daniel came to him and said, King, please, I'm begging you. You got to kill it quickly. Here's the point. Our pride opens us up to shame, ridicule, loss of influence, destruction of relationships, and most importantly, it impedes our ability to hear God and act on his direction. All of those things as a result of pride. Remember, it's the one thing the enemy did. Lucifer, they got him kicked out of heaven. He believed, oh, I'm better than God. Look at me. I'm a worship leader. I'm amazing. And it got him kicked out of heaven because that spirit of pride tries to rise itself up at the same time that we are using our gifts and we're doing all of these things for the Lord. Lord, look at me, God. Look at me. Look at me being used by you, God. Look at me. Look at this beautiful church that God has built. Look, he's used me to build this beautiful church. We've seen this over and over and over again. And what happens is we look at that situation and we go, another pastor fell. Where were the people in this person's life that said, hey, something's rising up inside of you right now? Where were the people around him? Where were the community around him? Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar and says, please, King, I'm begging you. The best way to detach yourself from a spirit of pride is to turn your pride into praise. Turn your pride into praise. Because in that moment right there, when you start to feel that, if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak truth to you, if you sit with him every day, I'm telling you, for me personally, this has become imperative. I have to sit with the Lord every single day because every time I open up the word, it washes over and it shows me, hey, there's an area of your life we got to address. Every day, every single day, if you do that, I promise you that you're not going to miss stuff. It's not going to be like, oh, for years, I never knew that. The Holy Spirit is so good and he's so patient with us and he's so kind. He will let us deal with our stuff in private before he exposes it publicly. But we got to be willing to sit with him so that he can teach us, correct us, bring instruction. The moment that you turn that pride into praise, what you do is you take yourself off the throne of your heart and you put the Lord at the throne of your heart so that all of a sudden now I can hear the Lord rightly. When I'm here and I put the Lord down here, you think he's going to shout direction at me? He's going to be like, okay, girl, you got it then. Right? And how many times do we feel that? Where we're like, you know what? I've been doing this on my own. I've been trying to do this on my own. I've not been listening to your direction. Forgive me. Turn that moment. Lord, I thank you for my kid that's in the military. I thank you, God, that you're faithful, that you covered over this mama's mistakes. I thank you, Lord, that in the moments when I wanted to be prideful, or I wanted to say, oh, look what I did, or I wanted to attach my self-worth to my child, I thank you that you exposed that and that I was able to separate that. And I thank you for putting them in the right perspective, Lord. You're in control. They belong to you. They don't belong to me. The moment that we do that, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes in and says, that's my girl. That's my guy right there. And you feel his presence walking alongside of you. You feel his direction. You feel his wisdom. The third thing is this: repent fervently. Repent fervently. Daniel 4:34 says this, that after the said time had passed, the said time had passed, King Nebuchadnezzar looked up to heaven. The said time. The Lord will honor his word above his very name. So if he said in a prophetic word to King Nebuchadnezzar, 7 periods are gonna pass before you're gonna get out of this correction. 7 periods were going to pass before he came out of that correction. It didn't come suddenly, and it didn't come without warning. And it also didn't end quickly. For 7 periods of time. Many scholars believe that was 7 years that he crawled around in the desert, growing out his hair. And here is where some Christians get stuck. Because we believe, if I said sorry, Lord, you should have taken away my punishment. I said sorry. I don't want to have accountability for a long time on this. I don't want somebody checking in on me and saying, hey, how you doing with that? It's over. It's done with. The problem is this. There are always consequences to our actions. And we don't determine the length of time that it takes for God to correct a behavior inside of us. We don't get to determine that. In my home, Richie and I are terrible parents, and a phone is not a privilege in our home. It's not a right. It's a privilege in our home, right? So you don't just get a phone because you're breathing, right? That's not how it works in our home. The other thing is we have some rules associated with the phone. Number one, you can't be in the phone all day. I want to see your face. You can use it for connection. You can call your friends, you can FaceTime your people, you can use it for that, but the moment that I see your face in it and all I can see is your mouth, it's mine. The other thing is, we're gonna have some responsibility with that phone. That means mom and dad get to check your phone at random whenever we feel we need to check your phone at random. The other thing is, if your grades stink, your phone is mine, okay? So we have ground rules for the phone. Again, it is a privilege, it is not a right. It's not water, it's not food, it's not shelter, it's privilege. So, and I did ask one of my children if I could tell this story today, so I'm not airing anybody out without their permission. One of my kids went to camp, came home from camp, and we were driving in the car, and I said, hey, phone check. The look of panic across one of the faces was immediate sweating, beads on the front lip. I mean, oh my gosh, mom, I didn't know you were gonna do a phone check today. And I'm like, yeah, phone check. So then it's like, hold on, give me a second. I'm like, nope, hand it over. So I look at the phone. I'm not even 1 second into opening up text messages. I know I'm grounded. You know that Kevin Hart meme where he's like, that was me. Immediately, I'm mad. So I have to dial it back. I start reading. And as I'm reading, I'm getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And it wasn't necessarily anything that she said. It was that she allowed the conversation to go where it wasn't supposed to go. So I said, these are mine for 3 months and you know the rules. Oh my gosh, you would have thought I cut off a limb. You would have thought I killed someone in that moment, okay? But here's what was so funny to me is that we had this conversation. You guys know the rules. You know the rules. This is a character issue. You need to take this up with the Lord. Like, we set the boundaries, we set the rules, you violated, that's the punishment. I'm not going back on that. This is what it is. So here comes a week later, right? This child has been doing all the laundry in the house. This child has been vacuuming all over the house. This child has been like, oh my gosh, I'll do it. Oh my gosh, clean the toilets. I'll do it with my bare hands if I have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, over the top with this, right? Over the top. Hey, have you seen my grades? They're so good right now. My grades are so good right now. Literally know what you're doing. We know what you're doing. But we just let it go on. Like, yes, Lord, we're going to ride this out as long as possible. We know where this is going. So, you know, a couple weeks into it, all of a sudden it's like, hey, I've been doing a really good job, like in everything in life. Do you think it would be okay if I had my phone back? And I was like, no. Are you kidding me? You know, it turns into this, like, all of a sudden someone flipped a switch and the person turns into like a grizzly bear. Like, that's cocaine bear. Like, that's what happened, like, right then and there. It was like, flipped a switch, went crazy. And periodically this would happen. She would be doing really great. Then she would say, hey, think I could? No, you can't. It's a 3-month period. Period. Like, don't ask. So this would go on back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was so funny because as I'm reading this story of Nebuchadnezzar, and as I'm reading this thing, thinking of like the ways that we as Christians behave, how many times do we do this with the Lord? We don't determine the correction period of time. So I don't know, like if I disobey in an area, I don't know like, okay, for the next 30 days, you're gonna have to struggle. Or for the next 2 years or the next 3 years, you're gonna have to struggle with that. You're gonna have to wrestle with that. Wrestle with the temptation, wrestle with how to overcome it. You're gonna have to wrestle with that. You put so much money on a credit card that now you're gonna have to work for 5 years to pay all of that back. I didn't set that amount of time. I told you don't put it on the credit card in the first place. But then what do? Lord, I've been doing really, really good. Can I just get like a super big check in the mail to like pay off the rest of it, please? Would that be fine? Like, would that be okay? And the Lord's like, no, said period of time, because we're correcting the behavior, because in 5 years from now, you're not gonna put anything on a credit card. We're fixing the behavior. We're correcting the behavior. And that's what the spirit of pride does. It causes us to go into a place where it veils the truth. So I can't see up what's up ahead because I'm so focused on how amazing I am and how great I feel right now. Instead of looking at myself rightly and letting the Holy Spirit speak truth to me, I'm too worried about my perception, what life looks like. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. I want to ask you a question. Can you take inventory of your life right now and see the damage that pride has caused you? Are there cracks in your spiritual foundation that have caused the root, or that were caused by the root of pride? We're gonna recognize it immediately. We're gonna kill it quickly, and we're gonna repent fervently, fervently. There are some of us in here who have walked through seasons, and maybe you're walking through that season right now where you feel like, Lord, I don't really like what I'm feeling right now. I don't like the correction that I feel like I'm getting from you. But I wanna be honest with you. He's correcting it because he loves you. And we have to stop looking at correction in the body of Christ as a punishment. He hates me, he's mad at me, I'm just a puppet to him. That is the very opposite that God says about you. He called you his own. He sent his son to die for you because he loves you that much. He gave you everything that he had. And the very thing that he's asking from you is, will you just let me be Lord of your life? Will you allow that spirit of pride to come down so that in its place I can speak truth? So that when we walk together and when we talk together, that I can show you some stuff in private, so that it doesn't become public and an embarrassment. His heart is to cover you, not to expose you. But the matter is my heart in the right place to receive what he has from me? Or am I good? I'm good. Because that's the difference. The difference is when I sit with him every single day and he speaks truth, he tells me, man, I love you. I have a good plan for you. I want the very best for you. And then when I read in the word about King Nebuchadnezzar, I can say, Lord, is there a spirit of pride inside of me? And lovingly he says, in this area, I'm seeing a little bit of that. Okay, Lord, thank you for showing me through your word. That's what it looks like to walk with him. He doesn't want to expose you. He wants to cover you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each person represented here, God. I thank you for each family represented here. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak truth to us. God, that we would allow you, we would give you the rightful place in our lives, God, that we would put you on the throne of our heart. Lord, we tear down every idol, every thought, every imagination that would try to exalt itself above the knowledge of who you are. Even in ourselves, Lord, those moments when we think we're doing so good, we're so great, we're so wonderful. God, tear those down. Lord, expose it for what it is. And God, we thank you that as we do it in private, Father God, Lord, we're gonna correct the discipline in private, Father God. We're gonna praise you and we're gonna thank you for teaching us in the secret place. We thank you that your desire is to cover us. Lord, like Psalms talks about, he covers us with his wings, with the shadow of his wings. I thank you that in that secret place, when we come close and draw close to you, God, that you're gonna help us. Lord, not so that we can be better, but so that we can look more like your son. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name.